the life story of the foremost man of our time, Winston Churchill. England at the close of a glorious century in British history. The twilight of the 19th century, and Queen Victoria, a grand old woman now, is approaching the end of her life, end of her reign. Among the young men who serve England as soldiers, writers, adventurers, is Winston Churchill, the man who already can share the claim of Napoleon to being the only soldier who has waged war in three continents. This brilliant young man is now talking with Joseph Chamberlain on the eve of the Boer War.
You remember me, Mr. Chamberlain? Winston Churchill?
Oh, God bless my soul. When I last saw you, you were a little boy at your father's house. I'll never forget his telling me how you agreed with Milton in Paradise Lost. That it was better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. I hope you've modified that opinion by now, young man.
Well, sir, perhaps I wouldn't be so open today in my expression of such sentiments. How are you, sir?
Pretty well, Winston, pretty well, thank you. I hear you've been performing marvellous exploits in Africa.
That's more than I've done since I've been back in England, sir. You know, I was defeated at Oldham, of course.
Don't let that discourage you. There's plenty of time for you yet, my boy. And don't forget that Joe Chamberlain was your father's friend.
Thank you, sir. By the way, how are your boys?
They're doing all right. Austin is civil law of the Admiralty, you know.
Yes, sir, I was aware of that.
Neville has just returned from the West Indies, going into business, not cut out for politics. I don't think you'll ever hear the name of Neville Chamberlain as a British statesman. All my hopes are in Austin.
Oh, well, sir, we can't all be politicians. By the way, how is the South African situation shaping?
Well, just between ourselves, Winston, damn badly. Kruger thinks he's got us on the run.
It seems to me, sir, that this is one time when we ought to take a strong line.
Yes, but it's no use blowing the trumpet for the charge and then looking round to find nobody following.
That's perfectly true, sir, but surely no one would say that we should back down.
Well, there's a young Welshman making my position very difficult. Lloyd George is his name. And I don't mind telling you that I wish he'd never been elected to the House of Commons. He's practically pro-Boer.
Well, I'm for strong action and no lowering of the flag. If Kruger and his Boers won't fight, let them have it.
I'm afraid that's what it might come to before very long, Winston. What a time to be Colonial Secretary. Well, all those worries are ahead of you. Goodbye, Winston, my boy. And don't forget, come and see me if you want any help.
Thank you, Mr. Chamberlain. I won't forget. Oh, and by the way, if there's going to be any excitement in South Africa, you can rest assured that the Marlborough dynasty will be well represented. It wouldn't be a war without Winston Churchill. Sorry I'm late, Borthwick. A thoughtful way to get here. Crowds everywhere. They're full of enthusiasm, cheering the Queen and every man in khaki. Anyway, here I am at the morning post office at your service.
It looks grim, Churchill. Kruger has delivered an ultimatum demanding the withdrawal of the British forces from the neighborhood of his frontiers.
That means war.
And the crowd outside knows it.
War. An ugly end to a great century, Borthwick. Well, I've had enough of fighting in Cuba, India, and Africa to know that it'll be no pleasant adventure. Mind you, for a young man, it's a fine life, but this business is going to be different.
Anyway, getting down to business. The Morning Post has to work fast. We want to be Cape of Blue represented in South Africa at the earliest opportunity.
Well,
that's just what I'm asking you. Will you accept the position of war correspondent? $250 a month, all expenses paid, entire discretion as to movements and opinions, 4 months minimum guarantee of employment.
Gad, it's the most amazing offer.
The best terms ever offered to a British journalist, Churchill.
I don't know what to do. You see, I decided to say goodbye to all that. Settle down to a quiet, ordered existence of writing and politics. And here you come along with a dash, tempting offer.
Well?
Listen to that crowd. What an amazing people we are. What an amazing empire. So loosely knit, and yet so unbreakable. As soon as danger threatens, London casts aside all imperturbability, and cheers and waves bunting. It makes you feel happy that you're part of London at a moment like this.
Forgetting philosophy for a moment, the Bermuda Castle sails for South Africa on the 11th.
Very good. I shall be aboard the Bermuda Castle on the 11th. thank you for an excellent offer. I hope and believe that I shall do full justice to your trust. Norfolk, the Morning Post readers can look forward to my best journalistic efforts. Sorry to trouble you again, Mr. Chamberlain, but I have some news and I want some advice. I'm sailing for South Africa tomorrow as war correspondent for the Morning Post. And I'd like to have your opinion of things before I leave.
Have a cigar.
Oh, thanks.
General Sir Redford Buller has been appointed commander-in-chief. He's taken our only army corps to Table Bay. But he may well be too late. He'd been wiser to have gone out earlier.
Is it true that the Boers are advancing on Natal, sir?
If they are, Sir George White and his 16,000 men may easily settle the whole thing.
What about Mafeking?
Mafeking. That may be besieged. But if we can't hold out for a few weeks, what is one to expect? Of course, I have to base myself on War Office opinion. They are all quite confident. I have to go by what they say.
I'm afraid the War Office may underestimate the Boers, Mr. Chamberlain. I believe they're thoroughly prepared and acting on definite plans.
Yes. They've been making preparations for years. It's obvious from the fact that this war is of their making.
I quite agree, sir. But I can't help feeling that it's very sporting of them to take on the whole British Empire. Of course, they haven't got a chance.
So, you think we'll win easily, do you?
Don't you, sir?
I don't know. But always remember, Winston, however sure you are that you can easily win, there wouldn't be a war if the other man didn't think he also had a chance.
That's perfectly true, sir. I never looked at it that way before. Anyway, I'm glad it won't be too one-sided. Well, goodbye, Mr. Chamberlain. And thanks for all your kindness.
Goodbye, Winston, my boy. I look forward to reading your descriptions of the fighting. And when you come home, we must find a nice place for you. Just to keep you out of mischief, eh? Well, good luck, Winston.
Churchill, by all that's holy.
Haldane! Oh, this is a pleasant surprise. What are you doing here?
I was wounded at Elendlagta, and after a short spell in hospital, I was on my way to join my battalion in Ladysmith. But I couldn't get through, so I've been given a temporary command of a company of Dublin Fusiliers. Now, tell me. Tell me why you're at escort.
Well, I've come out as war correspondent for the Morning Post.
Oh.
I was trying to get to Ladysmith, too. Gosh, what a time I've had getting here. Just got through before the Boers cut the line.
I suppose you know we're in a very dangerous place. The Boers may attack escort at any time.
I suppose there are cavalry reconnaissances being carried out.
Oh, yes. Yes, every morning. But the General's got a better idea than that. He's going to send out an armored train as far as it can go. I'm in command.
Pretty risky, isn't it? It only requires a bridge or a culvert to be blown up and the train's stranded.
Oh, I suppose he's aware of that. Anyhow, I leave at dawn with my company loaded into 6 trucks and a small 6-pounder naval gun. My orders are to reconnoitre towards Colento.
Well, I wish you luck, Haldane.
Suppose you wouldn't like to come with me?
Go on the train.
I'd like it if you would. Besides, it might give you some useful material for your war articles.
Yes, by Jove. There might be some fun, too.
I should think it extremely likely.
All right, Haldane. I'm your man.
Fine. Don't forget, then, we leave at dawn.
I'll be there. Oh, by the way, did I tell you I shared camp with Amory of the Times and Atkins of the Manchester Guardian? They're about somewhere. Maybe we'll run into them shortly and share a yarn. Now, a thing like this looks the most gigantic, deadly piece of armament in the world. Apart from a battleship. But just blow up a bridge, and it's just a hunk of metal which can't be moved. Easy prey to the enemy. Well, just hoping to get through, Winston, my boy, and live to write many a glowing article.
Hey, Winston, I think we'll have to move forward soon.
Where are we now, Haldane?
Chivalry, I've just telegraphed the General for instructions. We're about 14 miles out, and I don't know if it's safe to go any farther.
Who are those fellows up on the hill?
Eh?
Good Lord, I
believe that. Wait till I have a look through the glasses.
Not Boers, are they?
That's just who they are, Churchill. Come on, we'd better begin the return journey without waiting for instructions.
We'll have to pass them on the way back.
It can't be helped. All right, there. Start up the engine.
There's quite a crowd of them up there.
What are they doing?
I
can't quite make out.
Well, we'll swim past them now.
What in the name of heaven was that? Shrapnel,
keep your head down.
We're going downhill now. Traveling pretty fast, aren't we?
I suppose the driver wants to get out of danger.
What if there's a trap farther off? Haven't you better tell him to reduce speed?
What?
I said there might be a trap.
I can't hear you.
Oh, we're off the line. At least the engine is.
And look, here come the enemy.
Better man the gun, haven't you?
Yes. And while I'm doing that, what about you going up to see what's happened to the engine?
All right. You keep them off in the meantime.
See what damage there is. If you can possibly repair it, go ahead.
See you later.
Keep on the sheltered side. Good luck.
Winston Churchill, the brilliant young soldier and war correspondent, in the midst of one of those stirring adventures which are to make his name ring throughout the empire.